אנחנו קוראים בספר כתבי בעל הסולם.
We're reading from Kabbalah for the Student on page 491, Introduction to the Preface to the Wisdom of Kabbalah, item number 8. Page 491, Kabbalah for the Student, item 8. The matter of Sgula, power of Torah and Mitzvot, to bring the soul to Dvikut with him, applies only when the engagement in it is not in order to receive any reward, but only to bestow contentment upon his Maker. This is so because then the soul gradually acquires equivalence of form with its Maker, as will be written below concerning Rabbi Hananya's words in the beginning of the book. In all, there are 5 degrees. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, Yechida, that come from the 5 worlds called Adam Kadmon, Atzilut, Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya. Also, there are 5 particular degrees There are 5 particular degrees which come from the 5 particular parts of him in each of the 5 worlds. Then there are 5 sub-particular naranchai which come from the 10 spherot in each pratsuf, as will be written in the book. And through Torah and Mitzvot, to bestow contentment upon the Maker, one is gradually rewarded with the kelim in the form of desire to bestow, which come in these degrees, degree by degree, until they achieve complete equivalence of form with him. In that state, the thought of creation to receive all the pleasure, tenderness, and abundance that he had planned for them is carried out. Additionally, they receive the greatest reward, since they are awarded the true dvikut, since they have obtained the desire to bestow like their Maker. Rav. So there are, he emphasizes there are 2 things in attaining the goal. One is a great pleasure, and 2, true adhesion. Question, what's the difference between the two? Isn't that attaining the pleasure from adhesion? Or is there separate pleasure, or is the pleasure, let's say, separated from the pleasure of adhesion? Go ahead. The pleasure is separate from the pleasure from adhesion. Yes, the pleasure is from connection. I don't think there is any pleasure. There is the light that fulfills the kli, and there is the intention. Maybe that's the meaning.
What was the question? If a person is in attainment,
I asked what we had here at the end of the letter. They need complete equivalence of form with him, and then the thought of creation to receive all the pleasure, tenderness and abundance that he had planned for them, meaning beyond the pleasure, they receive the greatest reward, meaning greater than the pleasure, since they are awarded with true dvikut, since they have obtained the desire to bestow, meaning they have a will to receive. Within this will to receive, they get fulfillment. They have a will to bestow that they have attained, in which they also get fulfillment. It's like it says that the righteous got twice as much.
They also enjoyed the correction of the kli. Now they have a new form which resembles the Creator, and they also enjoy being able to fulfill the kli.
Maybe that's the definition of good and benevolent, that you see that you feel the goodness and you see the process is good.
A person can call benevolence pleasure, but being good and benevolent, he understands that this benevolence was given to him to develop a quality like the giver of the pleasure. This is the purpose of the pleasure, and then he sees it as benefit. He writes, because they assigned the ability to bestow as their maker, to be like the maker. It's not to bestow upon their maker, rather it is to be like their maker.
The pleasure I get has meaning, and the reason is because I want to be in adhesion. I get it in order to be in adhesion. These are two pleasures that it's hard to perceive egoistically. How can I enjoy something not for myself, but to give pleasure to something else? So it seems like both types of pleasures are necessary, but they are different.
I have to enjoy from receiving in order to bestow. The Creator has to feel that I feel the pleasure. And by that I give Him pleasure, when I feel the pleasure that I get from Him. This is part of it.
Yep, and the other part is that by that I become like Him. And that's the second thing that we attain, to give Him pleasure and to attain His degree, His standing.
Yeah, to be like Him. This is the second attainment. We become bestowers like Him, and we also receive from Him the pleasure.
That's the state of equivalence of form. And that is where the state of pleasure comes from. I don't think it's separated, I think it's the same.
And now when we're talking about it, it's not something theoretical. Now we want to create that kli to draw the light, because we are engaging those scripts and to try in our desire to build ourselves as such that now enjoy bestowal from the inclusion between us, because we want to be as one desire, and by that we implement what Kabbalists are writing about.
So these are 2 degrees. One is to enjoy bestowal, the connection between us, the attitude between us, and the other thing is to see the complete process, how good, how perfect it is to participate in it, to be partners in this great doing. That is something that is much greater.
Revealing that thing called the Creator, the quality of bestowal being revealed, it comes in stages, gradually, and there is a purpose for those revelations, to make the creature to receive all the pleasure. At first he's given a small portion of pleasure in his egoistic pleasures, and then they open up the ability for him to enjoy from getting the quality of the giver of the pleasure. Item 9. Now, it will not be difficult for you to understand the above words of the Zohar, that all the worlds, upper and lower, and everything within them, was created only for men. This is so because all these degrees and worlds came only to complement the souls in the measure of dvekut, adhesion, that they lacked with respect to the thought of creation. In the beginning, they were restricted and cascaded degree by degree and world after world down to our material world to bring the soul into a body of this world, which is entirely to receive and not to bestow, like animals and beasts. It is written, a wild ass colt is born a man. This is considered the complete will to receive, which has nothing in the form of bestowal. In that state, a man is regarded as complete opposite of him, and there is no greater remoteness than that. Afterwards, through the soul that closes within one, he engages in Torah and mitzvot. Gradually and slowly, from below upwards, he obtains the same form of bestowal as his Maker through all the discernments that cascade from above downwards, which are but degrees and measures in the form of the desire to bestow. Each higher degree means that it is further from the will to receive and closer to being only to bestow. In the end, one is awarded being entirely to bestow and not to receive anything for himself. At that time, one is completed with true dvekut with him. For this is the only reason why man was created for. Thus, all the worlds and everything in them were created only for man.
Question. What is the difference between worlds that came from above downwards and those that are ascending from below upwards? What is the difference in these worlds?
From above downward, we're going through stages of concealment of light. It's not the work of the creature. And from below upwards, the creature, the created being, he reveals all the concealments the Creator placed in him. And in that revelation, he returns to adhesion, dvekut, with him.
Also, in this from above downwards, everything is registered in the created being. We know Tagin, Otiyot, all these names that we have inside. And back again from below upwards, that's what helps us reveal and receive all of the happiness. Gershon will continue what I wanted to say.
This great abundance embedded in the words of the friends during the workshop. A thought came to me, this is exactly from above downward. This is what it means. All of a sudden we get an awakening from each other. Niv said that the workshop, it's not only something theoretical. It shook me up, really. And the effort that we make with and for each other, this is our struggle. This is our ascent from below upwards to put the work, the Creator, into this workshop. And to pray for the friends, to put it in the center. This is what our effort is from below upward.
The concealment from above downwards is concealment that has the purpose to detach the created being from the Creator. And the concealment from below upwards, when a person starts climbing the spiritual ladder, it's there to help him develop a greater, stronger yearning to the Creator.
In any case, the world is the same world. The only difference is in how we feel. Once the Creator hears everything, and another time he reveals them.
Yep. And his revelation is that he receives upon himself the same worlds, that he agrees for concealment upon his will to receive, and he agrees in reception, not bestowal. And that means that he equalizes the world that was cascading from top down, then he reveals it.
There's another layer here of choice, which is coercion. The concealment from above downward is done coercively, without man's participation. He's not even aware to the fact that he experiences all these processes.
Questions, if there are any? There aren't, okay? Yes.
In the previous item, he writes that man attains the purpose of creation, and in addition, he receives something. What can be in addition to the purpose of creation? The Creator created something. That's it. How can there be anything in addition to that?
Okay, what's the purpose of creation?
To benefit his creatures.
To benefit in what way? In them reaching the degree of the Creator.
Yes.
And what about their vessels that he created? Besides the kli called dvikut, adhesion, do they have any other, do they have an additional kli or not? The created being restricted them, didn't use them, they preferred in fulfilling themselves in a certain way. What about those desires? Do they remain empty? Do they disappear? What does the created being do? He just restricts them and that's it?
No, he restricts them and then with the help of the Creator he somehow reveals them, but still he reaches the purpose of creation. There's nothing else. Or is there something else? That's my question.
The purpose of creation is adhesion. Does adhesion cover everything, or is there an additional part of the kli that remains and needs to be fulfilled?
I don't know.
That's why it says that the righteous inherited twice. What does it mean?
In addition.
Right, so what's the addition? They have two vessels, two forms of pleasure. That was what the question was about.
I can't say that I understand, but fine.
We'll understand later.
Page 95,
what do we have there? What, we have an answer to that? Okay.
עמוד 95 זה בהסתכלות פנימית חלק א' תלמוד עשר הסבירות עוד חפה
in הסתכלות פנימית inner observations part 1 item 1 the righteous inherits double. Grisha, are you listening? Open the book. You don't have the book. You understand
שכבר מגיע לשיעור.
When he already comes to the lesson, that's how he sits here. Okay. Where are we reading?
We're on page 492, Kabbalah for the student. The study of the Ten Sefirot in reflection, item 21. The wicked will inherit twice as much. Come and see. The wicked are holding on to the rope in two sides because this world was created with deficiency and emptiness from the abundance. And in order to acquire possessions, one needs to move. And the movement makes a person ache, for he is far away from his essence. But all the possessions and goodness, that too is impossible, because that too is opposite to the root, for the root is filled with all the abundance. Therefore, they choose in the suffering of the multiplication of motion to acquire possessions. However, since their entire possession is only for themselves, and they have a portion and they want two portions. Therefore, a person dies with half his desire in his hand, and they suffer from both sides, from the multiplicity of motion and from the pain of deficiency of possessions that they lack, half of it. But the righteous...
And here is a question. When I'm in the ego, and in my state, I'm not satisfied. Why do I think that in the next state I will be satisfied, that I will be complete? And that in the next state, that I won't want to have the next state again, and more and more and more and more. Why? Whoever's in the will to receive is called wicked. Why does the person that's in the will to receive, why is he never satisfied with what he has? He should do it forcefully. Why are we incapable of it? Why are we incapable of stopping ourselves and not wanting anything beyond that? Go on.
The pleasure turns off the desire. When someone has a deficiency, it gives him livelihood and the force to chase the pleasure. And when the pleasure comes, then the livelihood of obtaining the pleasure disappears. Therefore, they're running to seek for another pleasure. And there is also, when you are more developed, there is the sensation of shame within the pleasure, which spoils the pleasure. So there are two complaints. You're never satisfied, an inner complaint of a person because he feels of a lesser degree.
The system is arranged in such a way that it doesn't enable us to stay in that convenient place that of a small pleasure, but it forces us to advance. Again, when I'm within the ego, I'm unsatisfied. Why do I think that I will be satisfied from my next state, that there I'll be complete and I won't want more and more? Why a person that's in the will to receive is found evil and is not satisfied? Rav, they wrote this here in a very confusing way. Again, the question is, why does the pleasure, when it remains permanent in the kli, why is it stopped being felt as pleasure, as fulfillment? Why? I put here on my throat something good, something tasty, cake. I swallow it, I stop enjoying. Why? Why doesn't the pleasure remain? Let's say I made a lot of money. Why, after I've made all of that, after I've achieved it, then I stop feeling that I have pleasure from it? Meaning that the second it enters my property, then that's it, it disappears. Or even the opposite, that same pleasure that I acquired, it now becomes an empty vessel of reception that I now want more. He had 100, now he wants 200. Why is that? Go on.
In general, the will to receive will not receive. It can receive a spark on the one hand. On the other hand, there is a replication because the righteous get twice as much, both in the will to receive and the will to bestow. This is a replica from below, that every time in our will to receive, we want to receive twice as much, more than what we received before.
I don't know why. It's like we're missing some kind of friction. I don't know exactly why.
I also ask myself why. It is meant for us to increase our kelim, that later on we'll be able to clothe them with the intention in order to bestow.
Let's read, because I see that you don't know how to answer.
But the righteous in their land. Okay, come and see that the wicked are doubly destroyed, for they hold both ends of the rope. This world is created with the want and emptiness of all the good abundance. And to acquire possessions, we need movement. However, it is known that profusion of movement pains men, for it is an indirect extension from his essence. However, it is also impossible to remain devoid of possessions and good, for that too is contrast with the root, since the root is filled abundantly. Hence we choose the torment of movement in order to acquire the fulfillment of possessions. However, because all their possessions are for themselves alone, and he who has 100 wants 200, one finally dies with less than half of one's desire in one's hand. In the end, they suffer from both sides, from the pain of increased motion, and from the pain of deficiency of possessions, half of which they lack. But the righteous inherit doubly in their land. In other words, once they turn their will to receive into a will to bestow, and what they receive is in order to bestow, then they inherit doubly. Not only do they attain the perfection of the pleasure and diverse possessions, they also acquire the equivalence of form with their Maker. Thus, they come to true dvekut, adhesion, and are at rest too, since the abundance comes to them by itself, without any movement of effort. This is in Kabbalah for the student, page 735.
That's called that they inherited double. Okay, where are we? In the introduction to Pticha, to the wisdom of Kabbalah, on page 492, Kabbalah for the student, item 10. Yes, Eli, welcome back.
Thank you. I don't quite understand what is double. What is the double here? The will to receive is cancelled in Tzimtzum Aleph, and the Dvekut here, well, he separates here between the Dvekut, adhesion, and the equivalence of form. Is it not the same thing?
I annul my will to receive. I build upon it a will to bestow. In my will to bestow, I fulfill my will to receive in order to bestow. In what can I give him pleasure? If what can I give him? Only the pleasure that I get from him. So, I get pleasure in my vessels. Bring me all the different pleasures, anything we can dream of receiving today, and as much as you want from today till En Sof, I need to receive. And then I receive it in order to bestow. That's why I can receive and have pleasure, and it's a pleasure that doesn't end. I don't need for that to be in any movement, only in the intention. And then, besides having this pleasure in order to bestow, I must enjoy, and I feel how I give pleasure to the host, and how he has the pleasure, and that through the adhesion to him, I also receive that in my vessels of bestowal. So I have fulfillment here in all of the vessels, both in my natural old vessels that I need to accept the refreshments from the host, all of the lights directly in the vessels of reception in order to bestow, but by that I acquire a nucleus called equivalence bestowal.
So what does it mean that Tzimtzum Aleph, the first restriction, is not cancelled? What is not cancelled?
The direct form of pleasure, that I can't enjoy receiving without any calculation.
Is there such existence in reality?
No, there is no such thing, but only in the fake world they were able to receive different pleasures. It seems to us that we receive them and that they are pleasures, and this is in order to bring us to enter spirituality. But you cannot get any spiritual pleasure or any pleasure at all except for fake pleasures, where it seems to us, like in a dream, it seems to us there that we can receive it. Okay. Yes.
If you want to turn into something practical, so clearly people come to despair because in this form it is impossible to obtain pleasure, and all the attempts will make you suffer even more, because that method doesn't work. And then you come with another method, which sums up to thinking about the friends in the 10. Through that, you can reach the state that he describes here.
Right.
Now, if a person thinks about the friends in the 10 every moment of his life, at that moment, instead of himself, in the good scenario, it is tasteless and even greater rejection. So how does that invert into what he writes here, that there is pleasure also from the Dvekut and from the fulfillment as well?
For that there was shattering, because by the shattering outside of me there are more people, and I can, with working with them, I can reach a state of bestowal, that I will demand the light that reforms, and it will help me reach a state that I bestow upon them.
I'm asking, what does the light that reforms do to a person, which now makes him to think about the friends or pray for the friends and feel a taste in it?
To feel what?
Taste, flavor.
Taste?
Yeah.
The deficiency that I start developing, that I start opening up, that I start discovering, that I have this taste in bestowing upon the friends. Where does it come from? From the light that reforms. Of course, I don't have it. We don't take into account the same upper light that builds us. If I invest in the friends, if I use the study, then I can bring this force, draw this force that changes.
It's not clear how it works.
I agree, it's unclear, but you need to take this as an assumption.
What does it mean to take it as an assumption?
That it exists, that it works. Let's try and let's see that it works.
And if you try and you discover that it is tasteless and even rejection,
it's a sign that we have not invested enough forces into this. There is nothing else. Kabbalists tell us it works. It's a law. There is an upper force. You need to invest some minimal force from your side in order for this upper force to start bestowing. What do you need to invest? You need to reveal this deficiency. And then again and again, every time with your efforts that you make, by that you reach this lack and this state that you have no choice, where it leads you to a prayer, to a cry. And according to this deficiency that you've discovered, all in all, that's it. It accumulates. Then based on that, you get to reveal a new quality, the quality of bestowal. It's something you've never dreamt about, you have no idea what it is, but it helps you start feeling what is outside of you. And what is outside of you? Only the Creator. There is none else besides Him.
In this process, there's something very cruel.
We're not talking about that now, cruel or not cruel. According to our mind, then it could be, but...
So let's say the need for bestowal, you come to it by despair from this present mechanism. Man has been broken, and this is what he comes to. Still, it's not clear. Still, I don't understand, how is it possible to give a person or to put him into or give him some direction into this existence of bestowal? How? Meaning only coercively? Not cruel, I won't say cruel, but there's something which is very frustrating, because this whole wisdom and this whole mechanism and all the exertion and the whole process of 6,000 years, and eventually a person has to reach a state where only out of complete despair and blows.
No, it's not just that. Despair from his own forces. But other than that, he has clear confidence that the Creator will help him.
But still, when a person has complete confidence and is now trying to...
He acquires this by the group, by the light that reforms.
And he gets the group support, and by that support he acts, he prays every moment for the friends and live in them instead of himself. But still, there is some barrier here. There is something here which is not smooth.
In that too, I agree with you.
It's very frustrating.
It's not smooth. No, it's not frustrating. It's the condition. It's an inversion that we even see in the forces in nature, in nature's laws that we learn. This is the transition between minus and plus. Every law has this of the oppositeness, because there is the Creator and the created being. There are two. That's what it comes from.
When there is oppositeness of form, let's say naturally in this world, like a child which grows, he grows against pain, but nature brings him pleasure in the overcoming, like in playing. There is pleasure in overcoming,
because he needs to grow within the same nature.
But how can one grow without pleasure?
Find that pleasure in the friends. You have a great deficiency, a great lack, which you can connect to the group with. That was given to you naturally. But if you disrespect the group, then you don't have that means. I need to be in the group, and in such a group that will influence me, that will determine my values. I want to be appreciated by them, and they hold me in arvut. They won't let me run away, so that I'll say, I don't care about the group and their goals. No. And in such a mutual way, we hold on to each other, and that is why I'm willing to do everything for the group. Just like in our world, I want to be appreciated by the society. I want to be seen as great by the others. I can dedicate my life to that. I'm willing to even die if they build me a nice tombstone.
I understand what you're saying.
Understand, that's the way our ego works. So why shouldn't I use that in our group?
I don't know why. I understand what you're saying theoretically, but in practice, in our group, it is a coercive thing. It's always coercive. I am committed to the 10, the friends commit.
Aren't you committed to go to work? Aren't you forced to wake up in the morning?
But there's some mechanism in corporal life that gives you livelihood.
Build the same in the group.
So I hear it for many years, and I still don't understand. Something is still missing, which adds some kind of element of obligation.
Because you're not doing what you should be doing. What is upon you to do? What do you want from me? Why don't you build a society that within this society I will feel ashamed if I don't?
But
if
that's negation.
Okay, but that's also needed. Just like in the society that's outside. Why aren't I making an effort to be liked by the others? Why wouldn't I want to be great in the society, to be respected? Do it. Go ahead. Respected in what? You'll be respected if I annul myself, if I help everyone. You're not building it. Now you can say, wait a minute, but how is this society, how will that be any different than the society outside? It will be different because the goal is different, the means is different. We need the light that reforms to maintain such an environment. We need to study, we need mutual help. But without building arvut, it all stems from that. It's all in that term. Without doing that, we won't advance. It's like I'm working in an empty space. There is no connection here. There is nothing forcing me, nothing influencing me, nothing pulling me forward towards this network of connection.
There's something that obliges you, but also in this world and in this form of suffering, same way here, We have built some mechanism which compel the person by shame, framework, pressure, etc.
And you're standing in one place. You stopped moving because you come here physically, and I see there are 300-400 people sitting here now. So what's next? Where is the inner connection that we require to have between us? Where am I demanding to be influenced throughout the entire day, that they're truly pressuring me, they're forcing me, they're holding me, that I feel that I'm among them, that I feel that I'm choking from their influence? Where is that? That they're forcing me. Forcing means I can't escape it. They're in my mind and in my heart. They've entered me and they won't leave.
But I cannot trust. It's not also from the negative side.
Yep, I want to escape naturally, according to my nature, of course. But when do I remember the group? Whenever I'm being reminded from above, not by them constantly holding on to me.
There is this matter of livelihood, some renewal, something that pulls you from the positive side, not only from this side of forcing. Can we add it to the group, to the society?
What do you mean, this spirit, this lively spirit?
I don't know. It's like a child which can grow only in a positive way.
No, because it works in favor of the ego. How can my ego be supported? What will I get from that?
So what you're saying is that the spiritual society is supposed to increase only the shattering, to break a person even more?
One who wants to live should put himself to death, yes.
Okay, fine.
But it's not a problem, because if you have support, then you're going towards these things happy, with support from the group, and through the group you get the light that reforms. We need to take into account the different means that we have here, as opposed to the outer world. What other means do I have here? I have a group in which there is arvut, and through which comes the light that reforms. That's it. There's no more. And I, as much as I can, I annul myself in them. Yes.
But what he's saying is right. You know, it's not through the positive. We have to either find a way to annul or temporarily kill our will to receive. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to achieve the goal. We do this through.
הוא אומר, זה לא דרך החיוב, זה דרך הביטול. לא כל כך עקבתי.
לא דרך הביטול?
Not through an element.
אנחנו צריכים לבטל רק את הנטייה שלנו.
We need to annul our natural inclination to enjoy, to control directly. But it needs to only go through the group and then through the Creator. That's the difference. You can enjoy infinitely, no end, no limit for pleasures, but only it needs to come through the group and through the Creator. That's it. But to enjoy, that's the purpose of creation. We only need to acquire vessels in which we can enjoy, and not like we have them now, that we learn, we just read, that the wicked, they come to nothing because they have nothing, because everything disappears. I ate in 1 hour, I don't even remember it. I made some profit. As soon as it became mine, I don't feel I've made anything. It doesn't feel that way. I need to convince myself that I am now rich. I don't have that feeling. You understand? I constantly need to be. I can only have this differential that I increase more and more and more. I increase this gap of what I have and what there will be. That's what I feel. So can you live in such a way? That is the pleasure the Creator wants to give the created being. It's not eternal and it's small. You only adhere to that same moment. It's not godliness. It's not spirituality. Look how people are constantly running. Enjoy this, enjoy that, enjoy this a little bit from here. And at the end, he dies. Why does he die? He can't chase pleasures anymore.
I think it was misinterpreted. I'm talking about us.
No.
Okay, I'm going to ask again. How do I annul or temporarily kill the will to receive? Or how do I make the right request through the group? So I could bring contentment to the Creator. I don't have any taste. I buy a new car in 5 minutes. It's the pleasures.
אין שום טעם. אני קונה מכונית חדשה, תוך 5 דקות נגמר התענוג.
אין לי שום יחס לבורא.
I have no relation with the Creator. I don't feel him. I have no attitude towards him. Let's be real. Right? I have no attitude towards the Creator. What I now need is one thing. I need to buy the group, because through the group I'll be able to feel what is outside of me. It's been said that outside of me is the upper world. How do I feel it? How do I reveal it? Not our universe, but a different universe. How do I discover it? So it's been said, you can discover it not in your own personal individual vessel, but in a vessel where you come out of yourself and you perceive something that's outside of you. What does that mean? That's a problem. What? I take my eye out of my body. What does it mean that's outside of me? He says, no, that won't help you. You can build tons of machines that do that, but at the end, they come to you. The thing here is really special. You need to exit your will to receive to the will of the others. I don't get these words. What does it mean to exit to the will of the others? But that's what they're saying. If you, nevertheless, rise above your own will, rise above to the will of the others, that means that the will of the others becomes more important than your own will, than your own desire, that you want to be in that, in their desire, and not in your own desire. Like a mother, for example, who wants to be in her baby. She doesn't want to feel herself, but she wants to feel her baby constantly. If you will do that, then you'll feel what they feel. It's not like a mother and a baby, because there's natural connection, but you have natural rejection from the group. But if through special processes called Arvut, the light that reforms, if by that you come to them with this special connection, that they become important to you as you are important for yourself, that is considered that you have acquired an external vessel. And through this external vessel, you can feel the upper world, whatever is outside of you. A new universe which you didn't discover that before. You know, there are, like scientists say, that just as we see our universe now, there are multiverses in different dimensions. Whoever, who knows what they're discovering. But as long as you are going out to your foreign, to these external desires of yours, that you're transferring yourself into that external desire. That's all the wisdom of Kabbalah. It's the wisdom of perception. What's the revelation of the Creator? It's the wisdom of perception. How to perceive what truly exists outside of me. And you've been given the means. You've been told what means you have. So I need to come out of the group, and through the group to cling to reality. And for that there is this broken group that suits me, really. But it's not really broken. How do I know if it's broken or not? In my perception, I see them like myself. And when I practice on them, what I practice on them is how to exit myself. And to the extent that I do exit myself by the study and the light that reforms, by exiting myself, then I discover actually that they're whole. They're whole. They're perfect. That he who sees flaws, he sees them through his own flaws. So I've reached a state that I'm connected to them, that I raise myself above my egoistic point. I become included in them. I've acquired the first nine sfirot, as it's called, in nine friends. And I start discovering between them this network, and that in this network I discover the upper force, that this network is called Shechina, divinity, and the upper force revealed in it is called Shochen, he who dwells in it. So everything is available at hand. You want to use it, use it. My goal is to tell you about this and to help those who want to advance in it. Yes, Asaf.
Can I try and help Shiovitz?
If you think it's possible, go ahead.
Eventually, the question is all about fuel, nourishment. Where can I can get food for that? And you said drop it.
Well, we're not given it. We're given a deficiency to start with. Where did you guys come from? You came from a deficiency. You thought that only the problem is, I remember myself also, that I came. That we think that we can attain the spiritual pleasure just like we can the corporeal pleasure through our mind, through our intellect, and with different philosophizations, with learn another page, or learn more.
Exactly so. So you're teaching us that we should forget about fuel for the ego, nourishment for the ego.
Right.
But we do develop sensitivity for another kind of fuel, which I find in this dryness after the death. Along with the dryness of the ego, I find a new fuel, a different kind of fuel that comes along with in every step of the dryness in the ego.
I don't know how you're saying this, but I have my soul, my ten, and I see it shattered. That's exactly the force of shattering that's in me. That's it. But I see the parts of my soul. These are my friends. That's just how I imagine it.
Can you describe just the fuel that we should start feeling that is not inside the ego?
Of course, it's the upper light that works if we start correctly treating each other. Egoistically, but correctly. That we want to advance to Arvut.
And a person should find this livelihood, this new flavor, when he's working on the path, even is before. If
of course, along the way, we're not talking about when we're already in the state of drawing the light.
And what are we lacking in the society in order to increase the sensitivity for it?
To start working everyone together towards one goal, that divinity will dwell among us. That's it. Only one goal. Imagine, all of us, only one goal. Divinity will dwell between us, that the correct network of connection will be revealed between us. That's it. Moscow.
Чтобы строить ценности группы, чтобы не убегать в
внешний... In order to build the values of the society, in order not to run, escape into externality, is there an exercise we can perform?
כאילו שיש הרבה אמצעים.
as if there are many different means, but they all work only as a result of investment, and we can't invest correctly all in one go. We need to reach, we need to come to the study, to dissemination, to connection between us, everything that draws the light that reforms. You're looking for some, for a single action which will immediately bring, yield the result. But there is no such thing, because our will to receive is very, very complex. But from this kli, a very, very small part is revealed. But we're actually working on the entire kli. On the entire kli. Look at for how many years a person grows, right? What does Baal Sulam say? That a calf that is one day old, he's already considered to be an ox. Why? What? Because his will to receive is enough to already guarantee his life. However, a person, a human, look how many states he goes through, in corporeality even, and no doubt in spirituality. Odessa.
Здравствуйте. Вот на первой части вы сказали, если я скрываю желание.
In the first part of the lesson you said, if I discover a desire of a friend, let's say he wants a pillow and I have one, so it clears what it means to reveal the friend, the desire of the friend. But what does it mean that I have a pillow? What does it mean?
I don't get it. What does it mean that I have a pillow? That I most certainly have the means to fulfill the friend's desire. Yes. What means? If I connect to a friend and I want to truly fulfill his desire, meaning by that I need to cancel my desire and to take instead of that his, to be included in his desire, then I already have an upper force that I can draw in order to fulfill the friend. I can give the friend things, you know, it says like, give him your pillow. Right? But in truth, I don't have what my friend wants. It's a different soul, it's a different desire, it's something that I can't fulfill. But what I can do is I can be this conduit. That's it.
Ken.
Go on.
How can it happen instantly? Let's say I see a friend needs the greatness of the goal and I want to provide it to him. So how does it happen now, on the spot? How this action is made instantly? I identify the deficiency in the friend, I want to give it to him, I want to fulfill him. I truly feel that this is what he needs. I need to turn to the Creator for him to fulfill him.
Yeah, right. Do you see what the friend does to you? What a favor he does to you. He is forcing you to turn to the Creator. Without that, you have nothing to come to the Creator with. You'll come to the Creator to fulfill yourself. That's a klipa. But specifically by wanting to fulfill your friend, by having a deficiency for it, by that you turn to the Creator out of lack of choice. So it's clear that turning to the Creator is in order to bestow. And to the Creator you have nothing to bestow. What will you give him? All the pleasure that you give him, that you yourself are going to be the transition, meaning you work on behalf of the Creator, that he can't fulfill the created beings, and you fulfill the created beings. It's like you're fulfilling his beloved children, and by that you adhere to him and become beloved by him. What's so hard to see this, to depict this? Let's move on to the next part.
Moving on to the next part of the lesson, but before we do, let's sing a song together.
שמחים בני כל העם הזה, כל כך שלמים מחוברים, שרים מה טוב ומה נעים.